And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks and Game Time. Use that promo code CLNS over at Prize Picks to get up to $100 match on your first deposit. And go use promo code CLNS at Game Time for $20 off your first purchase. Want to go to games 3 and 4 in Boston? Maybe you want to go on a trip down to Florida, game 1 or 2. It's a little late for game 1 for a trip, but maybe game 2, maybe game 5, maybe game 7. Down to Florida? Maybe. Use the Game Time app. CLNS Media. Or CLNS is the promo code. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm very happy that we are here in the second round. That we are continuing to do podcasts on the postseason in the second round. It's been 2 straight years where we've had to find things to talk about as the playoffs wind down. We don't have that problem yet. Bruins beat the Leafs in game 7, 2-1 in OT. I think people know what I felt on the series, given my post-game show thoughts. So real quick, we'll kind of wrap up the Leafs series. What were some of your takeaways, thoughts from game 7 in the series as a whole?
I think, Evan, my heart rate has started to go down just a little bit.
It hasn't fully gone down yet.
Yeah, it's not 24 hours. So I think about 21, 22 since the game started. So getting there. An incredible game for just the drama involved with it. And like, I think just the stakes involved, right? Like, this wasn't just like first run exit, odds, a bridge, yeah, shucks. Like, it went from, and I think we touched on this before, a series that went from, all right, like they should be favored. Oh, they're up 3-1. All right. To, man, if they drop this series, and lose 3-1,
if they mess this up.
Yeah, like, and like, you look at how many people have like their legacies on the line. Like, if they lose that game, Jim Montgomery's probably not here. You have like the narrative now that's permeated over like guys like David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm, and whether this core just has it, right? It has the metal to be a team worth investing in and building around moving forward. And to see, you know, the result as it was, right, of this team to give up a goal with 10 minutes to go in regulation, come right back and score. And then it's David Pastrnak, the guy who was called out by Jim Montgomery, the guy who had all this pressure to deliver that goal. I mean, that's an all-timer game in terms of what we've seen from this team, especially just when you factor in what was at stake, right? Like, you're going against a Maple Leafs team that for decades now has been, you know, stuck with this label of losers, of, you know, not being able to elevate on hockey's highest stage, you know, that can't deliver under the spotlight. And if you lost to that team up 3-1, you have that label. And look at what Toronto like is dealing with. It's pretty friggin' tough to shake that label and that narrative when you've got these guys. And even if, like, just look at if they lost that and like David Pastrnak has another great year next year, as we all expected, you have that narrative just looming over you of like, yeah, what happens in the playoffs? That's tough to shake, right? So for them to come away with that win, the drama involved, the crowd was awesome. Unbelievable game.
Oh, my God.
That's an all-timer game. And just the amount of weight, I think it's lifted off so many key guys who needed a result like that. From Montgomery to Pastrnak to Hampus Lindholm, who was awesome. So many guys. It's just huge. And now it feels like Bruins fans are just rolling with house money now. We'll dive into Panthers, and it's going to be pretty friggin' tough. But, like, yeah, it's a new series, new life. What have we said, Evan? It's survive in advance and move forward, and the Bruins are able to, you know, extend their season by at least another week or so. It's good to see.
We were saying, you, me, and Ty Anderson after Game 7, you look back, and I mentioned this on the postgame, too, you look back at, like, series where it looked like the coach was going to get fired. Claude had one again in 2011 against the Canadiens. They go down 2-0 in the first round. They end up winning in Game 7. They go and win the Cup. You look at 2013 against the Leafs. You know, they're up 3-1 in the series. They blow the lead. They're down 4-1 in the third. Everybody's like, all right, Claude's definitely gone when this is all said and done. And, you know, they end up winning and they go all the way to the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I'm not saying this team's going to go all the way to the Cup, but I think this team has turned a new leaf. And I think for this group, going off of what happened last year and how that series was the same script down to overtime in Game 7. Like, that was the exact same script. You know, opposing team looked dead after Game 4, up 3-1, no show in Game 5, overtime in Game 5, you know, relative no show in Game 6, kind of a letdown. And then game seven needs overtime. And game seven was by no means a perfect game. No means a perfect game. They pull it out. And I think, you know, for, as you mentioned, Lindholm, beast in the third, beast in overtime with that pass. Pastrnak comes up clutch when it matters. You know now Jeremy Swayman's probably your number one goalie, you know, into the future. The guy has just immense confidence, phenomenal goalie. We'll see, you know, I want to get into the goaltending for this next series in a second, but really good from him. Lowry was awesome in this series. And I think you know now that he's going to be a top four guy going forward, at least based off what he's done so far. And I think just in game seven alone, the resilience of this team, and they looked dead in games five and six. I mean, you and I were both like, I don't see him winning game seven. I just don't. They've burned everybody so many times before with stuff like that. I don't believe in them. I do not believe in them at the moment. But I mean, you look at like, will Nylander scores that goal. My first thought was, all right, it's over. Burns lost. They can't generate goals. A minute 23 later, that line of Frederick, JVR, and Brazeau goes down there, almost scores for Brazeau, but gets a long offensive zone shift. And then Lindholm just takes a shot and they score. And like, again, that was great offensive zone play. That's exactly what you want to see. Shoot the freaking puck.
Yes.
Lindholm shot the puck. My God. McAvoy passes up another shot. I mean, that got your heart rate up going enough, right? Like,
yes.
Passing up shot after shot. But, you know, again, that was just to be able to tie the game in that situation with that on the line and the gravity and, you know, Montgomery's job on the line and things like that. So a lot to like from the end of that game. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can kind of keep, like guys like Lindholm, if they can continue to play like they did at the end of game seven. Like, you sort of leave with a good taste in your mouth. It's sort of like Jerry Seinfeld always mentions that when he's doing stand-up, you want to end with the audience wanting more, not with them. You don't want to go too long and then have like, all right, why'd we keep going? They're ending on a high note. The Bruins ended that series on a high note. And it was it wasn't a long high note, but it was a high note. And I think, you know, the Panthers are on a little bit of a layoff here, Connor. They have not played in a little while. And the Bruins are coming off, you know, a thrilling game seven win. Wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me to see the Bruins pull one out in game one down in Florida. Now, it won't be easy because now you got the Panthers, the big bad Panthers. You know, they've got they're deep up front, good D. Bobrovsky's playing great, was outstanding against the Lightning. They also kind of overcame a big, overcame their own mountain.
Wall. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to say they overcame their own mountain in beating the Lightning finally. Like
it,
you know, that was kind of hanging over them the past couple years, kind of led to Huberto being traded. And they finally do that. So Bruins, Panthers, that's why we're recording this on Sunday night. This is Sunday night. You have a big flight to Florida in the morning, don't you? On Monday?
Yes. Yeah. So I will be down live from, I don't even know what they name that ring. Every time I go down there,
isn't it Florida Live?
No.
Isn't it Florida Live?
No, it's a bank now. It's like Amerant Bank Arena, I think. I probably completely botched that.
Berkshire Bank Arena.
yes. It is not, FLA Live Arena or whatever the hell you call it now. It changes every year. So, but whatever it is called, boots on the ground, we will be there.
Boots on the ground. You will be there. I will not. Boots on the ground, you will be there. The goaltending. And I, you know what's funny? In the aftermath of game seven, I thought, well, it's pretty obvious who you start game one at least. Jeremy Swayman. But now, the more I'm seeing more and more people on Twitter and, you know, in different media platforms saying, no, it should be Linus Olmark. Now, I think it should be Swayman. I think Swayman is playing way too good to keep him out of the net. And I'm not saying he's going to play the whole next series, but I mean, this is the best goalie in the playoffs right now. Yeah. You're going to take him out? And I get the Linus Olmark argument. Linus Olmark has been fantastic against the Panthers this year. You had the tandem, and I still think you do. But I would more consider Linus Olmark for either game two or if Swayman kind of falters in game one. Like, that to me is where I would, because Swayman's too hot. It's not like Swayman was like, got you the wins, but he, you know, Swayman was your best player.
It was a 4-3 final in game seven, right? Like he competed, but like his play dipped a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he was phenomenal again. Like I to me, Swayman should go game one and then you decide from there based on how he performs. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat, Evan. And again, it's like, you've got a pretty compelling argument. You've got a good problem on your hands if you're the Bruins in terms of turning to Olmark, because, you, like, you're right. Like, Ullmark has been very, very good against Florida this season. I think he's, what, 3 wins in 3 games, 9.47 save percentage. He's rested. You maybe say rested, rusty, however you want to kind of designate that. He hasn't played since April 22nd. But you look at the quick turnaround for Swayman. Maybe game one makes sense to switch things up, give Swayman a breather, and put in a guy that, again, it's not like he's your backup. You got the reigning Vezina Trophy winner available who has played really well against Florida. That being said, though, I think, as I kind of alluded to right before this, like, if Swayman's play dipped in game seven, like, was a gutsy win, fought the puck a little bit, but still came with the win, then maybe you give him a little bit of a breather. You know, stick tap. You got through the first round. He was fantastic, but take a breather. Go for game two. I think if Swayman's playing at this level right now and he's confident, and something I think Brad Marchand mentioned after game seven is, like, we don't care about practices. We don't care about the turnover. At this time of the year, like, with this quick turnaround, we just want to play. We just want to keep going. Yeah. Feeling good about our game. So I think you stick with Swayman in game one. See what you have. And if he puts up another great performance, you keep on rolling with him until he loses. And if he takes a step back and it's game one of the series and you have, I don't know what the right word is, not breathing room, but you have a little bit more room to take a loss if, you know, he's either not up to the task or what have you. You see what he has in game one, see if he can keep that momentum going. If he wins, stay full course ahead. And if not, then you go to Ullmark in game two. And if Ullmark wins, you roll with him for a few starts. Like, this is what I think the whole purpose of the rotation is. It's not set in stone. It's all about results and performance and who's going to dictate who's going to be in net. So I think if you're the Bruins, you go with Swayman in game one, see what he has, see if he can keep it rolling. But hell, it's a pretty good contingency plan to have Ullmark in game two if Swayman just needs a little bit of a breather or his play dips, which, again, I don't think we're expecting him to have a 950 save percentage the entire playoff.
No. Maybe. Maybe he does.
Be good news for the Bruins.
That is good news for the Bruins. If you really feel like Swayman's going to keep up his good play, you should go over to our friends over at Prize Picks. Quick break to tell you about my good friends over at Game Time. I am very excited about the NBA playoffs. And what's awesome is here in Boston, TD Garden is the best atmosphere for a playoff game. Thankfully, we have Game Time, which is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the tip-off. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Maybe it's the NBA playoffs or it's the NHL playoffs. The same is true with the Bruins. TD Garden gets so fun during this time of year, and you want to be there. The Bruins and Celtics are in pursuit of championships, and as the rounds go on, the crowd gets better and better. Nothing beats it. And with Game Time, there's last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. There's flash deals. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. And there are zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. Again, take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets and head over to Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code, again, CLNS. I can't be more clear about that. Use code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Now, back to the show.
So what's interesting with the goalie tandem is, you know, I guess, so let's say Jeremy Swayman comes in for game one. We're going to have the exact same conversation we had in the first round, but we're going to do it again now for this. Swayman comes in game
one.
Time
is a flat circle. It's like true.
It is. It is. Let's say they lose like 4-3, right? And he plays pretty well, but it's still a 4-3 loss. There's another argument to be made of, like, keep him in, let him try to rebound. But I think that is where the tandem part comes in, where it's like,
yeah,
all right, no, you've had your time. Let's give Ullmark a little bit here. Let's see what he can do and just kind of roll with it. I don't think you're going to hurt Jeremy Swayman's confidence. I mean, he won you a series. Like, you know, now he can be a difference maker in a series, but you don't have to run him into the ground. It's early in this series against Florida. These are not do or die games. As everybody knows, games one and two, are the most irrelevant of a series. That sounds really weird to say, but in a playoff series, like, you can kind of test some things out there. They did against Toronto with games 1 and 2. And again, they put Ullmark in. He was not the reason they lost. Like, there were many other reasons why they lost that game. But to me, like, I do want to see Linus Ullmark in this series for sure. I do not think Jeremy Swayman should be playing every game this series. What do you think?
No, no. Unless, yeah, unless by some impressive feat, he wins 4 or 5 games, or he keeps up what he's on, which I don't think is sustainable. If it is, tip your cap to him, man. Like, you roll with him until he loses, right? Like, if he posts a 36 save shutout in game one, keep that train rolling against a very, very good Panthers team. But as you said, it's hockey. We know there's going to be regression. We know stuff's going to hit the fan. And I think if you're the Bruins and you expect to hang in this series or beat the Florida Panthers, I think you have to rely on both guys. This feels like a series that if the Bruins win, you know, if they're able to, you know.
Did you see the ESPN predictions? Did you see those?
No. No.
What every analyst except for one, Steve Levy, was the only person to pick the Bruins, which then I think that's a bad omen for the Panthers. Like, I saw Panthers fans being like, this is not what we wanted. Like, every analyst was Panthers.
I mean, I don't understand the people who are like, it's going to be 5 games. Like, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a very fun competitive series. And
I have a weird feeling. I have a feeling we have the exact same prediction, but we're going to save it for the end.
Okay. But no, like, if the Bruins come away with a series win, I think you're going to have a stretch where, like, Swayman's going to drop a game and Ullmark stands tall in the next one and gets someone to back on their side. Like, he's due for one of those games. He's been good against Florida. Again, it's the same thing with, like, we mentioned this before, but how, you know, history is written by the victor, and how, like, years from now, we'll look at this Toronto series, rather, and be like, oh, like, what a fantastic ending to that one. I know they were down 3-1, but we're not going to remember how shit they were in games 5 and 6.
That's
the start
thing.
Of those
yeah,
games.
Yeah, we will not.
People don't remember, like, how good the Bruins were at the start of the Florida series, how locked in Ullmark was. If you don't remember that, like, again, the whole narrative of Pasternak, and again, he was not really good in this Toronto series, but, like, the fact that he doesn't show up in the playoffs when he had a between-the-legs goal and another goal in game 6 against Florida and had the go-ahead goal in game 7, like, again, it doesn't matter because you lose the series. So, but as much people think that, like, Ullmark is the guy that, you know, had the reins for that first round series where they lost, like, he still is a reigning Vezina winner, plays Florida very well, has won against them in the past in the postseason. Like, I think if you're going to go on a run and you're going to, you know, at least make this a competitive series, you're going to need both those guys to be playing at a high level. And again, it's like, you look at how Florida plays with that forecheck, with how involved their defense is. I don't care if the Bruins do a defensive clinic, they pack in the inner ice, they block a lot of shots, Florida's going to get their chances. Like, you're going to need both goalies to really stand tall in the series.
I think, to me, if the Bruins are going to win this series, you 1,000% need Swayman and Ullmark to be, you know, at the top of their game. And that's why I think you need both. I don't think this is one guy is just going to take it and run with it. You know, you look at, like, again, and it's interesting going into that Toronto series. I mean, you know, we're so, you know, we're deep in the playoffs now. I think some people forget about the regular season, but, like, Swayman struggled in that second half. And
yeah.
You know, there was a real question of who should start game one. I think one of the big reasons Swayman started game one was because he was so good against the Leafs throughout the season. And he had those two big games, two wins against them down the stretch. And that's why I think Swayman should start game one. I think they end up going Swayman in game one, just how good he's played. And then I think they're going to try not to overthink it. But Ullmark should 100% be in this series. And even if, like, it could be an even split, and I think it's fine. And I like, again, even if they did trot out Ullmark for game one, it's not like, oh, they're idiots. Idiots. Like, it's like the Sonic the Hedgehog video. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
The kid. Yeah. Yes. He's like, rah, idiots. You know, I don't think it's anything like that, but I do think that I think Swayman should get game one. And again, this validity to Ullmark in game one, I just, Swayman's too good. Like, that Toronto performance, how do you have him do that and then take him out? It's the playoffs. Like, yeah. You should continue playing after something like that, even if it is for just one game. Just how good he was. Again, if you want to go see these games, here's a quick word from our friends over at Game Time. Quick break to tell you about my good friends over at Game Time. I am very excited about the NBA playoffs. And what's awesome is, here in Boston, TD Garden is the best atmosphere for a playoff game. Thankfully, we have Game Time, which is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the tip-off. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Maybe it's the NBA playoffs or it's the NHL playoffs. The same is true with the Bruins. TD Garden gets so fun during this time of year, and you want to be there. The Bruins and Celtics are in pursuit of championships, and as the rounds go on, the crowd gets better and better. Nothing beats it. And with Game Time, there's last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. There's flash deals. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. And there are zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. Again, take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets and head over to Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code, again, CLNS. I can't be more clear about that. Use code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Now, back to the show.
So getting off the goalies here for a bit, one interesting thing, I think there's a lot of adjustments the Bruins need to make in this series. I mean, the Panthers are better than the Leafs for sure. Cleaner breakouts, a little more aggressive on Florida's D than they were against Toronto's D throughout that series. Shoot the puck. Like if you have an open lane, it's not a bad idea to shoot it. Like there was a couple of chances in game seven, like Morgan Geeky came around the net. It was actually a really nice patience play. Had it kind of, at the hash marks and just kept skating and looking for a pass. It's like, no, just shoot the puck. Just shoot the freaking puck. So that's one. But I would love to see Jim Montgomery try, and this you won't see it in games one and two because they don't have last change in Florida. But when they come home, I didn't think Montgomery did this enough in the Toronto series of trying to get that Zacha line with Pastrnak against Toronto's bottom six. Now, I said this on the postgame show, maybe it's because he doesn't have faith that like that fourth line could go against, Toronto's top line or Florida's top line. But I would like, and I know he's going with matchups there, right? He had set matchups throughout, but I would like to see that Pastrnak line. If the fourth line trots out for Florida in the offensive zone, put out the Pastrnak line. Try to get those mismatches. Bruce Cassidy used to do this all the time. I would love to see Montgomery do a little bit more of that in this series because I think it would free up Pastrnak and get him some points potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the biggest question mark, right? Like, we know that if the Bruins are going to make this a competitive series, the goaltending is going to have to be great. But what about the other end of the ice? Because I think the biggest thing that I want to see is Florida defensively because they've done a complete 180 from where they were last year. Like, we looked at that first round series and we're like, got a lot of firepower, but Bobrovsky, I don't know. And like their defense is pretty soft. They were, I think, 21st in the league in goals against last year. They're first this year. And it's like not like it's just Bobrovsky standing on his head. And he's had a really good year. Him and Stolarz have been really, really strong. But like they're number one at shot suppression. They're one of the best at denying high danger chances. They're stopping teams at the blue line and really limiting rush chances. So I'm just curious to see how they end up because I don't watch enough Panthers games to see how that happens. Is it is it just a really good forecheck and it just the best offense is a good defense in terms of you're just keeping the other team down the other end of the ice. But if the Bruins are gonna break through offensively and this is a team that listen, Toronto is not a good defensive team and they averaged Boston did 2.5 goals per game in this series. You're gonna have to land some punches against a very very good defensive Florida team. And to do that, you need to get guys rolling. And I think you saw Pastrnak had a step in the right direction. Still wasn't his best game in game seven, but again, you hope he builds off of that. Same with like Lindholm. Like he has not really had the strongest postseasons during his time here in Boston. A dominant game like that, maybe he can exhale a little bit, breathe a little bit and get rolling. But if you're the Bruins, you need Charlie Coyle to have a strong showing. He only had two points, not at 5-on-5 play. Zacha does not have a goal in 19 playoff games. Like you just need to get more of these guys rolling. And I think against Bobrovsky, the biggest key is, I think he's as good as he's been, I think he's one of the worst goalies in the league in terms of like high danger save percentage. So again, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're not showing the secret formula here, but you got to get pucks down low. You got to generate quality chances and take a shot first mentality, because whether it's like guys like Brazo and Frederick and that JVR line, which I think that was probably your best line in game seven, whether it's them
definitely
hanging around grade A ice, whether it's guys like Lindholm having more of a shot first approach, you have to do everything you can to kind of get that puck into grade A ice. And even if it's a rebound, a tip, anything like that, you need to turn to those opportunities, try to land punches, because otherwise, like, it's very clear. I think, like, the Bruins, if Swayman and Ullmark are locked in, they have a fighter's chance, but what are they going to do down the other end of the ice? That, I think, is going to be the biggest question mark and probably the biggest unknown I have about how this series is going to play out.
To me, that's the biggest thing, is offensively that, you know, you cannot have the same offensive showing you had against the Leafs. And I think the worrying part is the Leafs were way worse in net, way worse defensively, and you struggled. To me, that scares me. Now, again, Toronto completely shifted their D zone coverage of, now we're going to be on top of guys and things like that. I'm curious.
Guy Boucher special.
It is. And I'm curious to see what Florida does in kind of suppressing chances. You know, do you get bodies in front of Bobrovsky, cycle game, you know, from behind the net, generate chances, things like that. It is time, Connor, to make some predictions. And I am curious, do you have a prediction, right? I'm not putting you on the spot.
I don't, but I'll.
Okay. Want me to go first?
I'll think of one. Yeah,
you
sure.
Want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
I got Panthers in seven. I know. I think this series is, I said this on the postgame show, Sunday morning, technically. This series is going to be a lot closer than people think. Everyone's like, oh, Panthers are going to kill whoever they play.
Five
Bruins
games,
or Leafs. Yeah, 5 games will be four. It's going to be a sweep. I don't think that's the case. You have to factor in a lot of things. I think the Bruins are better than they played against the Leafs. I also think last year, this is where kind of that revenge part comes in of like, hey, let's kind of beat these guys. And again, the Bruins, not that it means everything, but they were 4-0 against them in the regular season. I think that's a good sign for the Bruins. However, I just think the Panthers are a wagon right now. And they have less holes. And I think they pull it out in seven. I do. And again, I've been negative about the Bruins since game five. So people are probably like, oh, there goes Evan again. But hey, maybe if I pick the Panthers, the Bruins will win. So you guys are like, maybe I'm reverse jinxing it.
So everyone expected the Bruins were going to lose game seven. It's like, maybe you just have to continually doubt them and then they'll keep on surprising you. But
yeah, no, so I got Cats in seven.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Panthers in seven as well. And again, I think it's going to be a very competitive back and forth series. And I think if you're a Bruins fan, you'll take that. If it's them really bringing it all the way to seven games, it's just, for me, I expect like the goaltending to be there for the Bruins, and they're going to keep them in a lot of these games. It's going to be tight. Guys like Tkachuk and Verhaeghe are going to get their opportunities, Barkov, what have you. I do think the loss of Sam Bender for game one, if that lingers, he was a game changer for that team,
yes.
Especially in that series. That guy is a heat-seeking missile out there. That guy is like a player. Yeah, it's a guy you want for playoff hockey. Like, great on the forecheck, can make a lot of plays in small areas of the ice. So if he's out for a couple of games, it gives you an advantage early on if you're the Bruins in terms of trying to maybe steal some of that momentum. So check in with me in a couple of days if maybe the Bruins start pretty strong here. But I think it all just harkens back to the offense and how much you're going to be able to generate against this team. Again, I want to see how it plays out, how the Bruins, attack Florida's defensive structure. Because even last year, a lot of open ice the Bruins had. But it seems like just the way it's changed this year, that they've really locked things down. But we'll see how it plays out. Like, the Florida Panthers have one of the better PK units in the league. But if the Bruins can carry what they did against Toronto, maybe it gives them more of a fighter chance. There's just, I expect the way that the Bruins are playing right now, it's going to be a close competitive series. And I think if you're a Bruins fan, you'll take that. If they get swept, they lose in five, that'll sting a little bit more. But like, again, you're into the second round, you're playing competitive hockey into the middle of May. See where and again, if the Bruins come out and win, would I be surprised? No. I'll take the L. We're recording this at the end of May and we're getting ready for the Eastern Conference Finals. But at the very least, we saw all season long when these two teams play. It's fun hockey, and it's hockey that's built for the playoffs. As much as people, I think, again, the Bruins lose that first round series, so the narrative is they were bullied and beaten by Florida all series long. Bruins kind of answered their physicality and pushed back quite a bit in these regular season games, and I think you're going to hopefully see a lot more of that this postseason as well. So I think it's going to be marquee viewing, you know, every single day these guys play. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And the Bruins have to make sure they are breaking the puck out smooth out of their own zone. That was
a
huge problem for them last year, and it was a big problem against Toronto the past couple of games. So that is key. Connor, go have a blast down in Florida. What can the people look forward to from you over the next few days at the Globe and Boston.com?
I'm going to have a couple of subs from Publix, the supermarket. No.
many subs every meal.
Yes, exactly. No, you can read all of my stuff over at Boston.com and the Boston Globe. We'll have you covered every step of the way down there, whether it's Florida, Boston, at Hanscom Air Force Base when the Bruins are flying off. That's where I was at today, driving all over Concord and Lexington. Wherever the Bruins are, we will have coverage with recaps, features, breakdowns, all that good stuff. Just read all of it over at Boston.com and the Boston Globe. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. That has been this week's Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks and Game Time. You Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week. Teenage Wasteland.